All right, thank you. Again, my name is Carolyn Buenaflor. I am the Associate Director of the Healthy Habits of Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. And I have no relevant financial commercial relationships with any commercial interest there, so got that out of the way. Healthy Habits is a community benefit program. I feel really short behind this podium, I'm sorry. I feel like I can't see y'all. Healthy Habits is a community benefit program of Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. Cedars-Sinai Medical Center is located in Los Angeles, and what a lot of people don't know is that it's actually a nonprofit hospital. We're kind of known for all the celebrity births and everything, but Cedars-Sinai is actually pretty committed to improving the community's health, and we're one of the programs that they have that's out in the community. Healthy Habits was launched in 2004. It was a combination of two things: community outreach that was being done, and also the community health needs assessment that, as a nonprofit hospital, Cedars-Sinai does on a regular basis. The initial program started off as a 10-unit second-grade program in one elementary school with a parent education component as well. Today, we have quite a number of programs. Our goal, we basically support healthy eating and physical activity primarily in schools. And we do that through a number of programs, and we target quite a number of audiences. We target students, parents, families, community members, as well as teachers to get to our program. As you can see there, most of our programming does happen in schools. The community that we serve, we work with the mid-city neighborhood and surrounding communities. It's a pretty underserved community. It's primarily Latino and African American. There's a large concentration of immigrants, particularly from Central America there. Schools that we partner with, on average, have about 88 to 90% students eligible for free or reduced lunch. And right now, we partner with 16 elementary schools, and we're active in over 30 community sites. Last fiscal year, in terms of our outreach, our fiscal year is July to June, we were in 113 elementary and middle school classrooms. We reached over 3,100 students, and we were just under 25,800 participant encounters in our program. Our evaluation. In 2011-2012, we contracted with an independent consultant to evaluate our program. And this is a snapshot of our outcomes model. There's actually a bit more detail at the bottom of it. So our overall goal is to reduce the risk and impacts of obesity in communities of need. And those are the outcomes that we're looking at for the different audiences that we have, which is children, parents, teachers, and also school, and trying to promote a healthier school environment. Our evaluation plan included collecting data from students, teachers, and parents. For students, we were very much interested in changes in knowledge and behavior. And data shown here is actually from the feedback that we received from parents from second grade. So those are three of the indicators, behavioral indicators, that we were interested in, which is decreased consumption of sugar sweetened beverages, junk food, and also making healthy snacks at home. There's something here that's not listed, is also physical activity, which we were very interested in. And there was a definite increase in physical activity, daily physical activity with students, that both students, parents, and teachers reported to us. For parents, we were interested in parents promoting healthy lifestyles at home, so we asked quite a bit of questions regarding eating more fruits and vegetables, whole grains, dairy, milk. So I just gave you a snapshot. We have quite a bit of data points there. And also the communication, which I'm going to talk about a little bit more later. Also, we were interested with teachers and really working with teachers and promoting a healthier classroom environment. You can see there some of the changes that teachers were making inside the classroom. And what we found also is that the program was influencing teachers to be healthier themselves. So most of them, I think it was like 98%, says, yes, this program influenced me to make healthier choices. And another one that we really founded in our evaluation model that was gratifying to us is teachers recognizing their role as a role model extends to healthy eating and physical activity. So if students are seeing them drinking that big gulp or have those red vines on their desk, it makes a difference. So more and more teachers are saying, okay, I'm being healthier in front of my kids. And that bottom quote was one of my favorite quotes from our teacher evaluation, which is basically a teacher saying, okay, I kind of stopped eating the donuts in front of the kids because I realized the effect that I have on them. Our evaluation identified a number of successful strategies for us. I'm going to share some of that with you. Number one is a targeted geographic focus. This is a map of Los Angeles, and where the pushpins are, those are where our programs are. So it's in a pretty concentrated area. On the top left, where that is where the Cedars-Sinai is. And if you're familiar with where Cedars-Sinai is, it's in a pretty nice neighborhood. It's just east of Beverly Hills and West Hollywood. But if you go about 3 miles southeast, it is a completely different neighborhood. And that's the mid-city neighborhood where all those pushpins are. And also with the target geographic area, what that allows us to have is to have multiple touch points with family. We are in the preschools, we're in elementary schools, we're in middle school, we're at the parks, and we're at the grocery store. So we're kind of everywhere in that neighborhood, so we have multiple touch points with family. Along with that multiple touch points is one thing that we really emphasize is that key messages are the same across programs. We use the same messaging that we use for a second grader as we use for a parent. And that really helps maximize that impact, so that way we're not complicating things in our programs. Some of our messages is health is colorful. This is one of our boards that we put up in preschools, encouraging students and parents and families to eat more colorful fruits and vegetables. We use quite a bit of My Plate messaging. We use a lot of their materials in our curriculum, reading and comparing labels, healthy snacks. We have a lot of focus, especially with students, on being healthy and healthy hearts, being able to do what you like. We're not a weight management program, so we actually do shy away from addressing weight or talking about weight with students, because we do believe that health comes in every size, so it's more about them feeling good and being healthy and being able to play outside. The other one that we do is that we're always proud of is that we teach, we show, we do. We really try to move beyond basic nutrition in the strategies that we use. So with every lesson that we have, we do a healthy snack demonstration and tasting, and we provide a recipe for the families or students that we do. That's actually me doing a pickled cucumber salad demonstration with second graders. And to the side of that is one of my second graders practicing setting the table. So we move, again, beyond that basic nutrition. We also, again, we're at the grocery store. We're you know, teaching them how to read and compare labels. That is our exercise in the park program in the summer. And at that particular park, we had over 50 participants come every morning to work out with us. We've actually had to make some changes there. And that's one of our mini veggie pizzas that that we make for the kids, that the kids just absolutely love, and we get them to eat. I think that one had bell peppers and basil. And the other thing as well is when we work with adults and parents, we're always approaching it in that it's a shared expertise. We know some things about nutrition, probably more, a little bit more than them, but they're the experts in their families, and they're the experts in their own homes, and they're the ones who's going to make that change. So we approach it from that perspective. Communication is built into our program. So we're trying to target the same families with the same messages. Now we want them to talk to each other about what they're learning. So every curriculum we have has a built-in communication tool, and this is from the second grade. At the end of each lesson, each student brings them home. It's in English and Spanish, and it tells the parent what they learned that day. It has the recipe of the snack that they learned. This particular one, it's yogurt parfait. And at the bottom, you'll see there's three questions. It's part of our evaluation that ask about changes in the home. Have they tried a new fruit? Have they tried the snack from the week before? And also ask about physical activity. Did they do a physical activity together with their child? For our parent education, we reverse it, where now the parent has to take it home and the child has to sign off saying, yes, my mom talked to me about this. Partnerships. We really, really treasure the partnerships that we have with schools. We have built our program one school at a time and developing those relationships. And we also use, we leverage Cedar Sinai, our resource, our names, our partnerships, to bring resources into school. An example of that is the this year, one principal asked us about CPR trainings, and this year we were able to partner with American Heart Association, and we're providing CPR trainings to all staff of our partner schools this year. And our staff, I can't forget, I can't not mention them. We're a pretty small staff of 9. Sorry, it's a little bit dark there. And we, we're diverse, we're well-trained. Most of us have MPH degrees, if not pursuing MPH degrees right now. I have an RD on staff. I have 2 staff members that are credentialed elementary school teachers and came with elementary school background. I also have a couple of staff members that are fitness specialists and have certification in leading fitness groups, as well as a community counseling certificate. Barriers and challenges, we definitely have them. Changing school and classroom environment is very, very challenging. A lot of things are entrenched. Those classroom celebrations with the 30 cupcakes, I don't know how many times a year, the classroom food rewards, we're seeing a lot of progress with that, actually, with teachers no longer using food as a reward, but it's still very much entrenched, where it's almost, for me anyway, it's always a reminder, like, to speak with teachers and staff about it. Measuring behavior change, we're particularly more interested in students, and that's very difficult because they we collect data from students, and it's all self-report, and they want to please us. They know the right answer to certain things. And, you know, again, we rely on self-reports. We also get data from teachers and parents to compare it with, but it's always difficult. And as well as working with parents, we focus more on a self-empowerment capacity building model with our parents rather than basic nutrition education. So measuring that and showing the progress that we've made is pretty difficult. Next steps for us, we're going to continue implementing our evaluation plan, and really what we want to do is, since we're following students from second, third, fourth, and middle school and trying to see the trends in those data, we're also exploring ways to measure improved health as a result of this program. Like I said earlier, we rely on self-reports, and also looking at exploring replicating this program. We're pretty fortunate that we're pretty much fully funded by Cedars-Sinai. We're not grant funded at this point. And we feel that we have a pretty effective model. Our evaluation results show that there is a positive impact on participants. However, it's not an expensive program. It's also not a cheap program. We have quite a bit of component to it. And in terms of cost, there's not many programs that use this really well-trained health educators. We don't use a volunteer model. We don't use a parent model. We use our own health educators to come out, and that is my biggest cost, is staff. And so we have a pretty intact team, but at the same time, you know, we've been approached and asked about replicating this and putting this in other communities, and unfortunately, you know, most programs do not have the resources that we do now. So thank you. I always, any presentation I do, well, you can't quite see it. I put a picture of Levi there. It's one of our second grade students from last year and a current third grade student from this year. So thank you.
We have time for one or two questions.
Oh, high schools, yes. Thank you for asking that. In terms of high school, we felt like our core competencies are definitely in elementary school. Our middle school curriculum is actually fairly new. It's something that it's been evolving in the past. We started it as a pilot project 3 years ago, I believe, and so we're just now trying to settle into that middle school. So it's something that we're definitely looking at, especially as we look at students across the board. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What barrier?
And we do get asked that a lot. The question was, how do we get into the schools? In the past 3 years that I've been with this program, we doubled our schools. We went from 8 schools to 16 schools in the past 3 years. The initial growth of that is, honestly, it's just us kind of pounding the pavement and contacting principals. And a part of the advantage is that we are in a small geographic area where the schools talk to each other. Principals know each other, so if they hear that so-and-so school has this program and they hear about it from the other school, we've kind of grown by reputation. Once we're in there, it's really interesting because if anything else, teachers are very, very willing to give us the time once we explain to them the program. And part of it, honestly, is we're there for an hour each week, and it's a bit of a break for the teachers. They have to be in the classroom with us. That's one of our agreements. But when we approach a school, I bring them the data that we have. A lot of, and I didn't mention this, is that our curriculum actually meets most of California health education standards. So we do meet instructional time, so it doesn't take away from that. And also, you know, we bring everything with us. So in terms of expectations of teachers, they need to be in the classroom with us, and they need to collect the initial consent forms, and, you know, and they stay in the classroom with us, basically.